Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday, January 15th, 2018. It's Martin Luther King's birthday in the U.S. And it's a huge holiday here. A lot of great sayings that he has said get to be re-said, reintroduced, brought back to life. It's just such a day of reflection of where we've been, to where we've come, to what people got in trouble for in the past, at that time in history. But this man is a remarkable man who literally fought till the end and spoke till the end. He wasn't a fighter. He was nonviolent, but he was an emotional bombshell for all of us. And his life represents so many lives. Every single life that exists on earth is touched by some of the things he has said or done in his lifetime. And it's been, you know, I want to say the honor of starting the year and thinking about him and having him be who we think about, who we talk about, and one of the first holidays that we have after the new year. So I'm glad that there is recognition. I'm glad that we get to pay attention and keep paying attention to people who spoke truth and speak truth over and over again. And today we have, speaking of love, why is love so loaded? I was thinking and really thinking about this. Every time, no matter who I meet in life, friends or people who are married or dating and or dating, people who are thinking of dating, people who have children, everybody feels somewhere in there that, oh my gosh, once I fall in love, I'm in trouble because now I'm committed. Now I want to be here. Now I'm going to fight for this, which is all the reasons why we want to love. But when people haven't met each other yet and people meet each other, the love part of their meeting is what scares them most. Because they feel like they don't know everything, they're going to get hurt. But why? Why do we think we're going to get hurt because we love? Why are we so scared to be deeply invested? Why do we choose mediocre over waiting for what we want? Because that's the biggest one. That's the I wish I waited conversations that I have with people or that they have with me. And then I have to say, you know, if you made that decision, there was a reason why you made that decision. But unfortunately, the fact that you're talking about this now means that this wasn't the final destination and you wanted it to be at some point in your life. And now you're going to switch gears, change companies, or dissolve a relationship, or not live where you live anymore. But whatever it was you loved, if you were looking in, I know it's a weird comparison, but it's actually not. When you're looking for a house and you know what you want in your mind, and it might not be that far out of your price range, but you know what you want in your mind. You know what neighborhood you want to live in. You know what house you want. And now you're looking. And while you're looking, they start saying, well, you know, because you have to get pre-approved before you go. Otherwise, real estate agents aren't going to take you out because they don't know what you could buy. In the past, they used to take you out and then figure all that out if you finally liked the house, because chances were you were going to get a loan from the bank. But that's not true anymore. So now you got to go to the bank, find out what you could buy, and then go out and look. But once you find out from the bank and you could buy, go out and look before anybody, drive around neighborhoods, see what you like, see what you need, see what you want, and then see what you can afford and find your best idea of what you could buy in your price range. Then when you go shopping for a house, you have a better idea of what you want already. Now, when we meet people to have a relationship with, we don't get pre-qualified. We don't know what we want. We have an idea in our mind what we've always wanted in life. But when you see it in a person, you can't go check out all the inventory the way you would looking for a house that if you didn't buy the house you wanted, you'd buy the house thinking, okay, in a few years we'll sell this house and buy one. You understand it's a stepping stone. But when it comes to people, it takes a while to get to know people. It's one thing to have love at first sight, have friends who know the person, have people who know the person, because that has done, believe it or not, a lot of work for you. But the reason love is so loaded is because from the beginning of our lives, the people who have loved us, shaped us, whatever they put in us is how we see the world in terms of who we love and why. But because we don't know that yet, a lot of young people don't even have the time to think about these things. They don't know why they're comfortable with this person, and it may be because this person resembles most of the people they grew up with and how they loved them. So if you've had some really difficult periods in your life before you got to being an adult, or just the way of life, or very controlling parents, or if they were problems of whatever kind, you're going to seek that. And when you meet the people, you're not going to know why you feel so comfortable, and it's because the only thing that's already familiar to you is how you were treated. Because to you now that has become love. But that's also why love is so loaded. The only difference is, do you meet a partner and you are sexually active with them, that confuses it even further. Because now you think it's love because of the sex. And that's why you should be there. But sex isn't love and love isn't sex. Remember that Christ said sex is not physical. And it's not. If sex were only physical, we could have sex with anybody, walk away and not care. But even when we say we're not going to care, we care. It's a very bearing moment, whether we realize it or not. I don't care how jaded we are when it comes to sex. We're not, and we never will be. People who've tried to be jaded, people who tried not to care, people who tried not to, like, involve the emotional part, had a big surprise coming. Whatever it was they were doing, they couldn't continue doing it pretending they don't care because they cared. Anytime I have seen a mix in a relationship or in a husband and wife or just a relationship where people haven't gotten married yet and they have done things callously or recklessly sexually, especially when it comes to involving other people or doing other things, it's always come back to not work for them. I don't want to say always. There's always the exceptions. But what happens is it's one thing in fantasy, and it's another thing in reality, only because one of the two probably couldn't handle it. Can't say it was good, bad, or mistake or whatever, but one of the two couldn't handle it. And then resentments or jealousies or all these other emotions start entering into the picture that the person did not expect, because they thought they were good with it. So now love is even more loaded. It's like we keep putting ammunition behind love. If you settled for the house, if you settled for behaviors you normally would not have thought of or been attracted to, and someone kind of talked you into it. And then when you get the feelings that attach to those behaviors, now you have to deal with it. But the biggest thing I got out of this, because, you know, right when I write up the show, it used to be where I would just get yak from Christ right before the show. And most of the time that's what happens. But this one, because I was almost like I had to do this show, because love being so loaded is something we don't talk about, but we complain a lot about the effects of how it was loaded once we're done. But what if we thought about how loaded love is going in? Or let's say you're in a relationship today and you have a partner that you've been with, and you say, hey, you know what? Am I under the gun? Is love so loaded for me that I'm causing issues in my relationship? Am I trying to cause issues because that's how I feel loved, when the other person is upset enough to deal with me? Or do I keep getting sick to get attention because I don't feel I'm getting attention just being myself? What is up with us being so emotional about love? And what is it about love that makes us want it like that, or hate it, or not want it, or chase it, or do crazy things for it, and not allow others to tell us what to do because of it? I love him no matter what. I don't care what anybody says. Okay, why do you have to say it like that? It's not because of the other people. It's because of you. But how do we come to having a healthy view about love, so that when we are in a situation, we can view it clearly? We can see it for what it is, not what we need from it to feel okay. It's like when you talk about love, or you talk about God, or you talk about religion, and they say don't speak about, what is it, sex or religion or something? I can't remember what the two things were. Money and religion, or I can't remember. There was two things, you know, that you keep out of a conversation with people because it's so loaded that, no, I think it is God and, well, no, God and religion are the same. So it has to be sex and religion or money and religion. But one of the two, when you talk about that, it's so loaded, people try to stay away from those subjects until they really know people. But love should be included, because what happens to us, and it's so interesting to me that love gets such a great rap but a bad rap. It's like it gets two things at one time, which causes us, oh, politics, thank you, Francis. Politics and religion. Thank you. I knew it was something like that. But although politics now is being talked to all the time, because people are really, really confused what's going on now. Like, how could this be happening? But it's happening. But thank you, Francis. So the way we feel about love, we roll our eyes. But now we even gave love more baggage. Because let's say you are in a relationship and you make a decision to dissolve the relationship, and there's a divorce. Now there's a financial kicker. People are punished severely for everything they've built up. And that has caused people to, you know, try to exit relationships, not in very good ways, because of the money factor. But love is so loaded because we are naturally loving, sensitive people. We don't want to hurt each other over love. We don't want to have been hurt because of love. But because we didn't understand that how we raise somebody affects them and causes them to seek a partner who was probably like their worst case scenario, not their best case scenario, because that takes a little bit more looking. And we usually jump in for the first house we see, the first person we meet, the first car we can afford. We don't strive. Nobody talks to us about looking for the right partner. Nobody talks to us about having some sense of standards. They just throw us out in the world on our own and see what we come back with. And then everyone decides, oh, he's good for her. Oh, he's not okay for her. Oh, she's great. Oh, she's not. Oh, whatever. And then everyone wants to come and talk to you and tell you what they feel and what they think. But I'm telling you guys now, if it's the last thing I do in my lifetime, I want us to be prepared for the things that matter to us most. Because there isn't a human on earth where love, truth, and purity aren't what they need most. I don't care who they are. I've never seen someone light up as high and wide as when they receive love and don't need anything back from it. And it's a hard, hard thing to teach because it's an intangible. It's really a hard thing to do to teach someone truth because it takes a while for them to believe again. It takes a while for us to believe in love again because we've seen so much that took away from those three cornerstones of who we are. That we say, well, if I do it here, but it doesn't exist in the world. But I will tell you that once you know those things exist, you do start to see them. And you start to rise in a different way because now you're saying, hey, wait a minute. I met this person. I would like to work with them, but I wasn't feeling connected. Instead of being connected to what used to hurt you and joining forces on that common ground, slowly in life you start to join forces on a higher ground. Not that it throws the other person back, but you meet a like mind, somebody who's also starting to face that, because then you can grow and thrive together instead of one taking care of the other in the sense that you have to teach them something that's foreign to them. When we can recognize our injuries, that can only come and can only happen to us and for us. When we acknowledge we even have the injuries, when we can see that they exist in us, sometimes people think, but I'm fine. It's them. And I met men who I'm in their middle to late 50s, believing that every relationship they have had did not work out because of the other person. And I said, oh, that's so sad that you lived your life till now. And you never got to self-accounting. Because if you didn't get to self-accounting, then of course everything's going to be everyone else's fault. You can't even see where you didn't know what you just didn't know. And it hurt you. Away from you. The ability to have a long-term relationship that you keep looking for and keep saying to me, well, I believe in love still. And you do believe in love, and you're really good at the beginning of it. But because you don't have the nuts and bolts to sustain it, because you don't have that, you haven't been able to fulfill the longing and the dream and the wanting to stay somewhere or to be able to maintain a long-term relationship with someone after a certain point. Because your baggage lies in the fact that one of the most important parts of us, facing our truth, facing our love, facing our innocence, were never addressed. That's when you learn that money isn't everything. Because you could say, but I provided a home. I provided security. But the home and security are outside of the truth, love, and purity. So if you don't have one and you have the other, what's going to happen? You're lopsided. When you have the money and you have the security and you pay attention to truth and love and purity, then both of you can connect. Because the truth and love and purity, you know, in throughout people's lifetimes, sometimes they make more money than other times. Not good or bad, it's just sometimes we prosper, it's our, like our economy, and sometimes we don't. But the one commonality is us, how we deal with both. Love is loaded in so many ways because we attach to it, well, he didn't buy me this, so he must not love me. Well, she doesn't take care of our house, she must not care about our marriage. But we don't talk about these things. We just get mad at them and we go into like this full attack on each other for not providing what they think they should provide. But what does that look like coming from love? Let's say you are there and let's say the wife isn't a very neat person. And let's say that the father is, but he's not home that much. She works part-time, he works full-time because one of them has to be there for the kids. Let's just say. And every day he comes home, he gets upset because he comes home and the house looks like a tornado, waiting for something to go wrong and then exploding because he's holding in this aggravation because the house looks like a tornado every day. And he realizes, wow, she's a great mom and she's a great wife, but this part is really just aggravating me to a point where I just want to scream. And then one day he does scream. Instead, just say, hey, you know what? She might not be the neatest one on the block, but maybe I can get her help. Maybe one day a week we'll have someone come and work with her for the hours the kids aren't here, and they can both get the house done, and at least once a week, everything's set back in place. That's a solution you can come to instead of you keep the house a mess, blah, 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 attack, attack, attack. The person's getting hurt, feeling like they're not doing their share, and they might just not have that organizational skill. Does it mean they're bad? No. You bring someone in and let them help you. And you pay them, it's a win-win. The person makes a few extra dollars, you get what you need. We help each other. That person's organizational skills may actually teach you that, oh, yeah, this goes here, that goes there, and now you're building that block in your mind that maybe you just never learned throughout life. So now the husband comes home, the house is more in order, he feels like, wow, I can think now, and she feels like, wow, everything feels organized, and you know what, I feel better too. Win-win. It's actually a win-win-win because now you have somebody else involved who's also benefiting from this, whatever it is you guys need as a couple or as a family. Instead of waiting, we try to wait. We think things are going to fix themselves. But if you can self-account and say, hey, you know what? I'm not here all day. She's a little bit overwhelmed. This is a lot for her. She didn't realize she was great at her job. Now she's home. It's tough. She needs to adjust. She needs to figure out how and when to do things that she needs to do. It's amazing what working together takes away that loaded feeling of all of it falling back on you don't love me, when it has nothing to do with love, but we blame love, we kick it around, we push it around. Because our insecurities lead. Having the conversation, just keep thinking, I know it sounds weird, but keep thinking of how you have to get pre-qualified to buy a house. Let me know what I'm looking at before I attack another person for how I feel. Let me know how much I know right now. What am I qualified to argue about? Let me pay attention to, okay, this is not working well. I need to find a solution because this person only knows up to here. Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening. When we give ourselves space, when we have space amongst each other, then love can be the energy that it is over and above what we want from it, because love is supposed to deliver. Once we love somebody, our life should be perfect. They should be perfect. Now we find out nobody's perfect and we get disappointed in love instead of realizing that life throws a lot at us and we have to deal with that. But how we deal with it, whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in your life, learn to deal with the problem, not blaming it through love, but use the energy of love to solve whatever it is you're looking at. Because we're all products of who raised us, good, bad, or indifferent. We can complain all day long, but it's not going to change anything because nobody else knows that reality but you. So for everybody to have to bend and live to that reality, are you putting shade on other people because of how you feel? It's really selling yourself short. Just know that understanding the role of love can heal and only can heal, cannot take away, then you'll know the difference when you're not doing that. Love is a healer. Truth is a healer. Working through innocence is a healer. Nothing else can heal us. Everything else might be a Band-Aid. Oh, I'll do this for them, but I'm not going to do it forever. Are you kidding? Really? How about we'll both work on this together so that forever we'll both sustain it? We got so taught to just think of ourselves. It's all about you. It is about you, but it's about how you deal with things, not all about you, just for you. Yesterday, when I was writing up this show, I looked up self-love in a synonym on Google, and I looked it up, and every single thing about self-love that it said was negative. Look it up. Conceited, selfish. I can't remember all the things, and I thought, darn it, it's even in the synonyms where self-love is looked at as something negative. No wonder we're messed up. No wonder we're so loaded, because we cannot love ever. I don't care where we are, anyone else, without loving ourselves, because there's no way we will put value on it. If you can't have compassion for you and you can't say to yourself, hey, I know this really stinks today, but I can build out of this, I can walk out of this, I can get to the other side of this, then there is no way you're going to say that to someone else. Instead, it's going to be, well, you're a big mess up. Nobody is. Nobody is. We just need the pureness of love and compassion to work with ourselves and work with each other. You guys, my time's already up. I will see you tomorrow. I love you so very much. Have a great Monday.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.